All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit fat podcast.
I like China.
You work with retards.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Do it. All right. Welcome back to Legit Bat. I'm Joe, flying solo again today. It's a weird time and day for us to record, but I get Crow on whenever I can, and those happen to be on my days off. So it's nice. Got a nice day off. Chilly and rainy, and it is winter, so I guess that happens. I'm still not a big fan of it, but joining me also is Brandon from Expanding Reality. Thanks, buddy, for jumping in. That's the live audience cheering for you right there.
Yes, thank you. And I threw in my own Howard Dean to accompany. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course. And our guest, of course, Crow, returning champion probably, I don't even know how many times now, 10? 5? I don't know. But we tried to connect with him every like 6 months or so because he's doing amazing solar scope work along with, you know, shooting the moon and everything else, and just amazing podcast, crow777radio.com, and you can check out all of his stuff there. And I recommend signing up for the full 2 hours because it is worth every penny of fiat currency to get some of the things this guy talks about. So if you've never heard of him before, Crow, why don't you introduce yourself real quick and we'll get going.
Hey, I'm Crow.
Nice.
I run Crow777 Radio. That's CROW777radio.com. I've moved everything I do over there because I've basically been censored off most of the platforms. Most people know me from my telescope work. On my website, I have my two-hour film called Shoot the Moon, covering all my older work with the lunar waves, the weird UFOs, and the first discovery of the second sun. That's available to members. It has 10 awards in the world now. I do run a YouTube channel, but it's basically a billboard that points people at my website because, as I said, I've been censored so much, and that's about it.
Very nice, very nice. And if you don't know Brandon, of course, expandingrealitypodcast.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah, taking a break from the website for a little while. Go to Patreon. That's where all the free stuff is. You can get as the ad-free stuff, so you can avoid the YouTube stuff as well. I put all the free stuff up there too. But you can support your favorite show there and get all the add-ons. Join us for the hangouts. It's really cool. So shoot on over to the Patreon there at Expanding Reality for now, gang.
Yes, and Brandon's always doing stuff. He puts me to shame with how many shows he gets out, and plus the members stuff. Oh my God, that's. I guess if I didn't have a full-time job, I'd probably do a lot more shows too, but
it helps.
You know, yeah. One day I'll just quit. I'm tired of paying bills and taxes. I'll just quit. I'm exiting it. I'm just exiting the system. I say that, but yeah, you'll know when it happens because you'll get like 3 shows a day and you'll be tired of me. So what did you want to get into, Crow? Because I know you've been doing a lot of stuff. I heard your show on over at Sam's show, Tinfoil Hat, and you've been still shooting the sun, and your current understanding is that the sun is a sphere, but probably not a giant nuclear reactor of burning gases. Did I get that somewhat right?
Yeah, I mean, it's round. You can see that it's round. People who shoot with just regular cameras where they've got a filter that knocks down the surface brightness, if you're looking at sunspots, you can be fooled into thinking that it's not round, but usually even the sunspots spin around, and then if you come back the next day, you can see the same spot has come around. But I shoot in hydrogen alpha, and you can absolutely see that the outer surface is basically rotating around. Almost every time that I shoot while we're at solar max, like if there's a big energy center or a big sunspot, or a filament. If I come back the next morning, I see the same thing that I was shooting yesterday, just a day older and changed in any direction that it has changed. But the big news is that our sun is probably a binary. Oh, and to answer your other question, I absolutely do not accept that it's a nuclear furnace. As a matter of fact, I think that we may just be looking at an outer shell when we view the sun in the way we do with hydrogen alpha. And I am damn near in lockstep with what I'm going to forget his name now, Eric Dollard has presented about the sun. And for people who don't know, Eric Dollard is about 10,000 times smarter than I will ever be in this lifetime. He may be equivalent to about like a modern day Tesla. And he has put out content on the sun that I pretty much agree with wholeheartedly. One of the big things he talks about is where's the energy coming from, which was a question I began asking. If it's not a nuclear furnace, then where's all this energy coming from? And when I found the so-called second sun, or what may be our sun's binary, I thought about that. But the problem with that is the Vedic ideas explain that. And what they say is when it gets further away from us, our consciousness plummets and we have dark ages. And when it gets closer, which I think it is doing now, our consciousness jumps up. But to cut to the chase, he said he thinks maybe the energy that to the sun we see is coming from counter space. And I think I agree with him.
What would be the your understanding of counter space?
Limited to none, except that we know that there's more than this, and we are pretty certain people talk. They give it all these names like dimensions and things like this, but it's pretty clear at this point that everything in our reality has a vibratory rate, and there are things that are right here now that basically have a different frequency or a vibration rate that we can't even detect at the level we find ourselves. So maybe that begins to address, but let's face it, we know next to no, or I know next to nothing about counter space, other than there's this big sun, which is clearly giving so much energy, and which has clearly, in my view, been misdescribed as a nuclear furnace to account for that energy. So then we're left with where does it come from? And you can say things like counter space, but to be honest, you'd be better served to go listen to Dollard clips because he's much, much brighter in that regard than I will ever be.
Yeah, and I love the the way I think it was on Sam's show when you said that you believe the sun is conscious and alive, because how could it create, consciousness or life on Earth without it being alive itself? So it's definitely a whole ball of things you can think about and speculate to no end, but you're actually out there doing the work in, well, what we can do as far as, photographing and videoing the sun. So get into your method though, because I'm photography retarded when it comes to things like hydrogen alpha and the things that you're using. So why don't you give us a quick breakdown in the equipment and your method of how you're getting these shots?
Okay, so let's start with the light spectrum. And if you guys want to inform your audience, you could do a quick search and bring up the light spectrum in just an easy graph. But when you look up the light spectrum, you'll basically get a vertical chart, and on one side is infrared or IR, and the other side is UV. Now, way down in the middle, in this tiny little sliver, is visible light that our eyes can detect. And when you see that, you begin to realize that human beings are damn near blind. And this is what I'm talking about, where we could live in a place and not be able to detect so much. And I'll give you a second to put that up. If you grab one that shows the visual spectrum in the center and how much on either side of it is, the visual part will be color and the outer parts will be,
That's one of the most interesting things that when I first heard about that, and you don't really think about it as a kid, I guess, but when you think about how much out there is happening right now, like you were talking about counter space, they're literally we can barely see any of what's going on around us. So
right.
to say that there's not other dimensions or,
Click the eyeball one to make it big in the upper right. Yeah.
Shit.
Oh,
of
sorry.
course it's an article.
You might have to right click open in a new window or something.
Yeah, let me see what I can do.
Sorry, maybe that was a bad idea.
No, you're all good. Oh, no,
No,
I
that's
need
how Google
that.
images work. It's annoying.
Okay, there we are.
All right. So what you're looking at on the top, this goes much further. Typically where you see the infrared right above the visible light, that's where it stops. But look how much all those black boxes are what we can't detect. So we see this narrow sliver. Now, in where the eyeball is looking at the rainbow, that is the visible light that we see. I'm shooting in hydrogen alpha, which is in the red. So if you go up to the top and see the little red band there, what I am shooting is barely within the visible spectrum, but we can't see what I see with my telescope because of all the other colors and brightness and energy. What my telescope does is it knocks down the surface energy by 98% or more first off. Then it cuts out all the other wavelengths and only lets the hydrogen alpha come through. And that allows, you know what, I'm going to stick some things in the chat that you can show folks that shows what the hydrogen alpha can see, because I can't really describe it. Here's a good one. All right, here it comes in the chat.
I've heard your favorite, haters and hecklers saying, oh, well, obviously it's technically Photoshop then. It's not what's really there, but it's what we can't see.
I'll dismiss that right now. In the chat, I gave you an image. If you can put that up for folks, I'll describe what's what.
You got that, Brandon?
I am all over it, sir. And I've got your Instagram pulled up as well, if you want.
Mine's being wonky. It's not wanting to do it.
I got you. All right.
What you're about to see here is an image that I shot. And what I'm going to do here is describe perfectly how this image was made. There is one fake element in this image. Ignore all the blue crap and the branding and all the text. If you just look at the sun, there is one fake thing that I absolutely added. Do you want to guess what that might be?
Black point contrast.
Nope. Color. Fake thing in this image is color. I assigned it. I could have made it purple. I made it this orange because that's kind of what the human eye expects to see, and it helps you to visually assess the image when the color is associated like this. So the only element that was added to this image that does not exist is color. Okay. Now what I do is I take my hydrogen alpha telescope and I take a black and white video. And the reason I'm doing it in black and white is because it allows me to catch thousands, if not millions, of more shades of information. So that's why I'm shooting in black and white. And that's why I apply, not all of them are color, but that's why I apply the color at the end. So typically I shoot roughly 3,000 frames in a video. What I then do is I pick the best 10 to 20% of those frames. And the reason I'm picking frames is because when you shoot the sun, a lot of the frames are blurry. It looks like heat shimmer or the seeing is bad. And in the same video, some of those frames are just really, really bad. So I take the sharpest ones, and that might only be 5% of 3,000. Then I take all those frames and I stack them together. And all that does is it boosts the lines. It's like, for those of you who use Photoshop, if I took a picture of myself and put 10 images, each one on a layer in Photoshop, and then made each layer 50%, so the data would blend through the one below it, boosting the lines and the contrast, so it doesn't add any fake data. Then when I have that still, I set the levels for lighting, for contrast, and you get this. Now, the only other thing that I really manipulate is outside the sun. You see the flames on the side called prominences. Outside of that, it's really dark. I set that. I could have it be much brighter, or I can darken it down. And what I'm talking about is taking a brightness slider and moving it to darken it out. The reason that's done is because it lifts up the features of the sun more. But there's one more important point to make about this image. Do you see the white dots? Those are sunspots. This image has been inverted. And this is a legitimate technique because when you invert an image made like this, it allows you to better appreciate the 3D nature. So I'm going to take another image and I'm going to stick it in the chat. This one has not been inverted so that you can see the difference. And you'll notice the sunspots are black, but it doesn't look as 3D because I have not inverted it. And when I say invert, what I'm basically talking about, it's like getting the negative. Like if I turn a JPEG into a negative, that's what we're talking about. And it is done a lot in the solar filming community to show the 3D nature. Now on this one, you can see the spots are black. It has not been inverted, but it doesn't look quite as 3D. So that's why it's done. I'm going to shoot you another one that is a close-up of a sunspot that has not been inverted. And the only thing that's been done to it has, well, it's been processed with brightness and contrast, and it's sharpened a little bit, but it has not been messed with other than color added. So this is a close-up of one of those sunspots that you're about to see.
Weird.
Just so gnarly.
That is an insanely clear and zoomed in image. If you're listening on audio, check out the video version because this is insane. This is the sun.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you please.
He did a black and white version of this on the show, and it's in motion, guys. It's phenomenal. The still is breathtaking, but the motion is fascinating because it looks like it's falling into this thing. It's incredible.
Right. So that's another thing we need to talk about. Because too many people have been lied to for too long and they have a hard time seeing something like this that they're not accustomed to and not immediately calling it fake. I'm here to tell you that I don't lie when I'm on air. I do not lie. And if I do make a mistake, I try to come back and say, sorry, I made a mistake. I'm human being. So, you know, I'm not perfect. But my point is, this is real. This is not some construct that I cleverly created in Photoshop. This is all from an image of the sun. Now, I'm going to give you the black and white version of this. But what I wanted to talk about is I've been so censored on platforms that I opened up crow777radio.com. Members get free access to all that I'm doing. Part of what they get access to is my solar telescope work. It is all on my website because I'm tired of YouTube acting like they own my content, or actually claiming in some cases. They claim they had part ownership of the original Lunar Wave because I uploaded it to their platform. And I got notified they could use it for anything they want to. So I'm done with that. But on my website, there are currently 11 solar videos where I show the motions of the sun. I sent you the black and white sunspot, by the way. And what you need to know is for you to see the motion of the sun, it needs to be speeded up significantly. So when you see the videos of the sun moving, it's been sped up 200, 300, 400% or more. And that's the only other manipulation. But the point I'm making is if that wasn't done, you couldn't really have a good idea of how the movement works.
Well, and the best thing is that you're doing this with no, you know, I believe it's in good faith. You don't have an agenda you're pushing by the pictures. It's just, this is what picture I took, take it or leave it. It's not, you know, coming with all this NASA baggage of their, you know, we all know what NASA's pushing. So, and everybody's got their own opinion on that, but this is why this is so good to see, is because it's from technically an amateur photographer, but with some pro fucking shots.
Well, let's you know, you stated honestly, I don't have an agenda per se, but let's be completely honest here. In a way, I do, because I'm trying to show people that the space agencies have not told the truth. So that could be construed as an agenda, right? I'm openly telling you that the work that I do is aimed at trying to show what I consider to be a more accurate picture of where we are and what's around us. And did you guys get the black and white?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's up. Is it not sharing?
Yeah, it's showing up on my end.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Zoom window. I apologize, guys. It's a little bit slow on the uptake. So on this black and white image, this is what it looks like out of the camera after the video has been stacked down from the best frames of the video. The contrast has been dealt with, the sharpness has been dealt with, and the brightness has been dealt with. No elements are being added. And so, as you can see in the black and white, you truly can see more detail than with the color. But even though I add the color, the black and white really expands the palette of detail I can get. And it's significant. It's like hundreds of thousands of shades more that you can get than if I shot in RGB. But I
I
want
love it.
to. Did anyone notice if Rose is in the?
She
She's
is
in the
in the
chat.
chat.
She's in the
Rose is
chat.
up in the
Hey,
chat.
hey Rose. I wanted to get a video over to you so folks can see the movement. And
The
I'm
movement is
tr
so cool. I want to point out here while we're doing all that I got a technique for looking at very detailed photos, paintings, images, anything like this from a long time ago, and I just thought that this was really interesting, so I'll just share it here. When you look at something like this, your eyes can just kind of, oh my God, what the fuck is going on? And I don't disagree. But one of the ways that I tend to enjoy things that are like this, or just anything really, is to stare for a little while at one corner, then go to another, then go to the other, and then go to the other, and then take your guys' gaze to the middle here. And it's a fascinating way to sort of get your mind to encompass the entire picture and include your peripheral vision because you're already kind of familiar with the territory a little bit more. Just an interesting way to look at pictures, you know.
Yeah, and what do you think we're even looking at right here? Because to me, I mean, if you just look at it, it looks like what I pull out of my vacuum cleaner. Like it looks like a ball of hair or something. Like, and that's why you add the color, obviously. But
It's
yeah,
like plasma.
let's talk about this. And I do think that plasma would be a better word to describe, but let's start with the black areas. In the center of the black and white image is a black area that is called a sunspot. NASA claims that the reason it looks the way it does is because it's slightly cooler. But what I am noticing is you can see down in there, and I have some videos on the website that show those little lines, those little filamenty lines. They go around the corner and down in, and the tips of them, and energy is blinking and passing back and forth. But do you see the smudgy black lines? Those are called filaments. But also, a filament is a prominence, like the flames on the edge of the sun, that isn't in the right, location that you see it that way. In other words, instead of seeing a flame on the edge of the sun disk called a prominence, you're looking straight down on it, so it just looks like a flat line now. But that is, if I rotated the sun around, that little line would look like one of the flames on the side of the moon. But I sent you guys a video. So you can run that, and people can be kind of fascinated because now you're going to get to see how the sun moves because I have the tools to grab the right wavelength. And then once I have a video, and by the way, this is literally a video, an actual video. In other words, I haven't taken it apart or stacked images. I've done nothing. It's just a video. I added color and sharpened it a bit. Now you have to get the motion that you're about to see, you've got to speed things up by hundreds of times. I'm sorry, give me just a second here, guys.
No worries. It's what happens when you're not prepared like us professionals, you know?
Dude, I love the on the fly because look, we're doing it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Crow's sending stuff in the chat. We're pulling it up. We're not, it's happening, guys. This
It's
is
organic.
beautiful. I love it. Yeah, it's
No
authentic and
fertilizer was
organic.
used.
Oh, okay. So Rose said she's going to be emailing it to me. So let me check that.
You should send
It's so
Rose
cool.
a Zoom link, or Rose might have a Zoom link because she could get so
Or
many
she can hop
things to
on.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rose,
Plus, it'd
please,
be cool to talk to Rose.
I should ask. Rose, can you come on?
Yeah, she should have the link because I sent it to her for her to send to you. So I think she should have that. If not, I can send it to her real quick.
What do you call a guy with no arms and no legs?
It depends on where he's at, right? If he's on the door, it's Matt. If he's in the water, it's Bob.
What if he's trying to break into your house?
I don't. I'd want to see where it goes, honestly. I'd give the little
Jimmy.
fella a go, Jimmy.
What if he fell into a pile of dog poo?
Oh no!
Then he's
Please,
Colonel.
Colonel.
What if he's got a twin brother and he's on your wall in your bedroom around your window?
What? Hang on. Do that one again. It's so specific.
Guy with no arms and no legs with a twin brother who's on the wall around your window.
Drapes?
Kurt and Rod.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I feel
god.
Like I should have my
No, don't get me going.
Got you going apparently. That's incredible. I didn't even know that button was pushable. That's amazing.
There we go. Yeah, there a little go. Late on the draw, but yeah.
I didn't know you guys had a live band. That's
you're
sweet.
A stand-up comedian. Here, I got you.
I used...
There you go.
Owen Benjamin had me on, and I trapped him. I challenged him to a comedy off, and I had like 100 of those in my back pocket, so I cheated.
Mm. Oh, my God. So yeah, Rose has entered. Are you emailing that to me, Rose? It's Google Drive link. I'm trying to read
the
chat.
Pull it up
and
from her and share from there.
So it's 24 megabytes in the chat. I sent you a video.
Is that the same one I sent them a link to on Google Drive?
Probably. It's the looping prom, the magnetic looping prom.
Oh, did you
open
find it?
Open it up on Google Drive.
Hey,
it's
Rose.
5 minutes.
Yeah,
what's
hey,
up,
Rose. Bro?
What's up, Rose?
Good to see you guys.
Meet the engine that keeps Crow 777 Radio on the rails.
She is the best and the easiest to work with and the most amazing and the sweetest and kindest. And how much longer do we got?
The brain behind the man.
Yep.
And smarter than the three of us put together.
Oh, yeah. All day.
That's not hard to do.
You guys are pushing it now.
Well, she's been nice enough to sit back and let us just be adorable. Okay, here we are with the film, guys.
Nice.
Thank you, Rose.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, I actually see it in Zoom. Not on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Looks like a water fountain.
I'm not watching the stream.
Yeah, I just caught up. There's a little bit of a lag.
Oh, lag. Yeah.
All right, there we go. So, for me to capture the data to show everyone this, I had to shoot video for over 3 hours. I collected roughly a terabyte of data. So, what I do... And I'm going to tell you exactly how I do this. The same way that I just made those other images where I shoot a 3,000 frame video and I create a still, what I'm doing here is I'm shooting for about 30 seconds, a video for about 30 seconds. Then I stop shooting for roughly 20 seconds or maybe even 30 seconds. Then I shoot another video of the same length. And I do that hour after hour. Then when I have all those videos, I stack them down to a single image. I don't throw out, well, sometimes I pick the best frames out of each of those hundreds of videos that I've shot. Then all those stills, which have not been manipulated, are run into a video so that you can see this motion.
It is fucking wild looking.
It is so much work, and the sun is by far... the hardest thing to film that I have ever tried to film. It is orders of magnitude more difficult than shooting the night sky or the moon as an example. But when this wraps back around and it pulls back out, you can tell by the looping prominence, the magnetic nature, those looping magnetic swirls that you get. Okay, here.
Yeah, again, for the audio listeners, check out the video. This is insanity. I bet you've never seen anything like this from NASA.
That's called solar rain. The stuff falling down. Okay, there it is. You can start to see the looping nature. Like, imagine a magnet in iron dust. Makes that same shape, right? So I think we can agree we're looking at something that's electromagnetic. But you see the little black spot on the face of the sun? That is a filament, so it's just, you can see it connects. See it connect to the prominence and feed it? That's part of the prominence, just at an angle where you can't see it as well.
Oh, yeah.
I sped this up about 1,000%.
Dude, it goes and sucks in there. Watch.
Nuts. So yeah, you can see it connecting.
Yeah, now it's sharper because I took the color away.
And a double prominence is very fortunate. Many times when you see these prominences, they just look like a single flame. And every now and then you'll see someone capture two flames that are close to each other, but you can't quite make out that they are in fact connected. This example here proves that they are connected.
Yeah, you can see it.
Oh, Rose, did you put out anywhere that this is happening? Here, I'll do it right now.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this. Why does NASA not have, maybe they do now, but why don't we learn about this in school? That's crazy.
You're adorable and rhetorical. We know why.
Adorable?
Yeah, yeah.
Adorable. Get it? You got a drum set?
All right, I put it up on X, Rose, that this is happening.
This is magnificent. Look at that.
Okay. I didn't know this was going to be live. I'm going to post it everywhere else. I'm going to go to Telegram now.
Rose, do we have any other moving stuff that we share?
Nope, this is the only video that we've put out other than sharing the screen on the website on Tinfoil Hat.
I'm going to kick you guys a very important image, which shows, in my view, how badly we've been lied to.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Sorry, the reason you never got that video is because I didn't push send, so you guys will have a copy of that video, which is now coming in your chat. But there's a still image behind the video, and it's a very important image because it proves, in my view, beyond the shadow of doubt, that not only were we lied to about what space is, but they did it knowingly. And the reason that I think they did it knowingly is because if you don't know where you are, how can you possibly know where you can go?
Well, that kind of brings in, not to like pivot too much, but like the last time we had you on, we kind of went into your second son footage and we got all the pictures of that. If you want to see that, it's also on YouTube and Rockfin, but it's, where does that fit into, I guess, the NASA model? Or
it destroys it.
That's what I mean. NASA. Is that why it's hidden? Is because it completely destroys the whole model?
Think about this. What? So you've been shown since you were old enough to go to school what the solar system looks like. The sun is in the center and gravity is holding everything in these big rings, right? Well, what happens to their gravity model if there's more than one sun?
It fucks a lot of shit up.
It gets fucked, mate.
It's done. It's done, done. And that doesn't even start to address the three-body problem. Anyone can look up the three-body problem, and then you can start to deduce how badly we've been lied to. But there's a black and white still, a poster that's in the chat, and it's just about to you. There it is. It's to you now. If you put that up, I can demonstrate how long ago they knew the truth about where we are and that we were sold nonsense.
I love these alchemical images like this. I'm a sucker
what
for
is
these
this?
Things.
Yeah, what is this from?
This is from 1651. A Jesuit priest made this image. And let me tell you something. I saw recently claims that back in the day, to be a Jesuit, your IQ had to be like over 200. And when I first saw that, I thought, really? But as I looked into it, some of these guys spoke 14 languages. You know the stories where they showed up and supposedly met a group of people that had never seen, you know, people from Europe before, and within a year or two, they have a Bible in their language. These people were freaking the smartest of the smartest. So a Jesuit made this image called Nuovo Almagest in 1651, and it proves the lie. So I'm going to describe very carefully what you're looking at. I have a copy of this in my office where I work so that I never forget. And every show that I've been on so far where I have presented this, people have gone out and bought it and put it on their wall. In the center of, well, let me preface. This was made to communicate to people who were educated. The guy on the left is 100 or 1,000-eyed Argos from myth. See all the eyeballs all over him? If a person had not been educated and understood all about Greek myth and Roman myth, they wouldn't get the meaning of any of this, right? So this is basically aimed at telling the people the truth, the educated people. In the center of the image is a scale, old style scale. Everybody knows what it means when a scale is heavier on one side, right? Okay. Above that scale at the top is the hand of God. Now, on the right side of the scale is Tycho Brahe's model of our solar system, and it is the heavier side, the valuable side, the correct side. On the left is the Kepler-Copernicus model that we all got. Kepler was Tycho's whipping boy. Kepler was hired by Tycho Brahe to do some math. And I don't know for sure whether Kepler had to do with Tycho Brahe's death, but I do know for sure he either stole or acquired all his data. Tycho Brahe was an aristocrat who should not have been allowed to work. Aristocrats don't work. He went against that, and he spent major portions of his life observing the sky and exactly positioning planets, comets, and stars. He actually issued, and this is a bit ironic since I'm covering him, 777 very precisely located stars. When he died, Kepler got it. Kepler never spent any observation time. He did not even know how to use the tools Tycho Brahe had. And by the way, Tycho Brahe did this all immediately before the first telescope was supposedly invented. Kepler and Copernicus did math magic. They never observed a damn thing. Down at the bottom, there's another model under the feet, which is the worst of all. That is Ptolemy's model. So what the Jesuit is telling all the educated people is that Tycho Brahe's model carries more weight. It is the correct version, while this other inferior version, Kepler-Copernicus, is what we're feeding to the masses.
How would you describe the Brahe model there, the heavier side? Because I'm trying to figure out which one's the sun, which one's the moon.
You can look it up, but I'm going to give you a web address. A guy named Simon Schack made a real-time model that you can manipulate to see the movement. Now, I want to be right up front. I met Simon Schack, and I was going to have him on, but we did not hit it off. And I'm going to say flat out, maybe that's because I have a big mouth, so I'm going to take the blame on that. But I don't agree with a couple things. I do not agree that we move. He has the Earth moving at about a kilometer an hour or something like that. But that none of that matters because of the amount of work that man did to give us a working model. And basically what the Brahe model shows us is that we matter. The Earth is the center of it all. Everything is going around us. And I'm going to look up really quick.
While you're looking at it up, it looks like we're here, and then this rotates around, and then this rotates in between and as well. So you have like this really interesting dance, or this would be the Earth here, and this circles around here, which includes some probably luminary bodies, and then you have, it looks like Mars that comes and swings through in this inner orbit.
All right, kind of elliptical too.
Exactly. In the chat, you're going to have a link to the live model. You should share it with your folks. You know what? I could have done that. Here, I'll share it with everybody.
I got you.
So what this is, oh, by the way, if you use Google, it'll tell you that's a dangerous site because you might learn something from Tycho Brahe. That's why it's dangerous.
Those are the ones I want to go to. Yeah.
Basically, what's going on here is the Earth is at the center. The sun is going around us. And as I have said for a long time, it is my point of view and Tycho Brahe's. And I believe, well, I won't speak for him, Venus and Mercury would be better described as moons of the sun, not planets. So the sun, Mercury, and Venus are going around us. Then going around everything is all the outer planets. But we are at the center of it, showing our importance. This is here because we are here.
This is a fascinating website.
This man put a lot of work. And I've thought about reaching out to him again and maybe keeping my big mouth shut and seeing if I can do a better job. I don't get it because I get along with almost everyone, but we didn't hit it off so well.
It happens.
It does happen. And you know, timing, right? You know,
well, it's probably me. So
that's what I always say. Yeah, it's probably me.
It's a safe assumption.
Very self-responsible.
So that'd be the big one right there. So Jupiter, Saturn. So it's showing the sun is like the closest.
It. So you're looking straight down on it. There you go. So now you can see the two orbits. The little orbit that's white around is the sun, Venus, and Mercury going around the Earth. Then the big red ring is all the other planets and its orbit around us.
So this is the Earth represented with this dot?
Zoom in. That one right in the center is the Earth with the moon.
Right here.
Okay. That's
so
the Earth.
It also has an orbit within its within this orbit. So it orbits as well.
Yeah, when we're off the air, now that you have this, you can take some time to familiarize, and if you're into it, you should do searches on Tycho Brahe, but his work has been covered up, and I think actually a lot of what he may have offered us has been hidden away. I think he told us the distances of some comets and other things, but this man, Simon Schack, made it a mission. On the website that I've given you, there is also a book, which you should download if you're interested in this, because that man went around and got everything he could find on Brahe in every language, and he translated it all into that one place. So to be fair, even though I don't agree with everything that he thinks is correct, we owe him a debt for the amount of work he put into this.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I've never seen anything put together like this. Rose said the Tycho Brahe episode on your show was episode 445, if anybody wants to check that out.
Yes. If I had heroes, Brahe would approach.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing he did all that, and then immediately after you had the Copernican and Kepler shit coming out that just totally...
And the telescope. Almost immediately, supposedly, the first telescope is created.
And then they get these amazing shots of a tortilla in the sky or whatever they do with them.
He was basically looking through tubes, and he had these giant devices that measured angles. He was calculating by hand the aberration of looking through atmosphere. It's just amazing. And then he went back time and time again to refine these positions. And those calculations by Tycho Brahe became the foundation for all modern astronomy, though his kudos were shoved in a closet and his importance never shown.
It's dangerous misinformation. We know that. So in this model, though, that we have up on the screen right now, where would the second sun fit into this, or whatever the hell you're videoing that
Good
is
question.
Pretty inarguable at this point?
Good question. I wish I could answer. What I can tell you is that some of the Indian... Indians, some of their ancient
red dots.
Some of their ancient lore has a binary for our sun. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say a few things. Why is it that we look up at Jupiter or Mars? We can see that they're round. We can see that they're spinning. And then we assume we are like that. Why do we make that assumption? Why do we think that Earth is anything like these other luminaries? We see stars, and we don't think we're like that. We see planets that are glowing bright as can be, and we've been told, well, that's just another version of what we're on. Secondarily, the let me go at it this way. I'm going to go back to the Indians. The Indian Vedic traditions have an idea that our sun has a binary. Years ago, our astronomy in the West thought that finding a binary for a star, say, was an unusual thing. Now it's come complete 180 away from that. It is unusual now for a star not to have a binary, to the point where if you did a search right now for does our sun have a binary, you'll see articles that we lost a binary or somehow, you know, all this nonsense. Getting back to the Vedics, they claim there is a binary, and that when it gets further away from us, our consciousness plummets and we have dark ages or the Kali Yuga like we've just come through. When it gets close to us, which I think is going on now, our consciousness rises. But it's not just us. It's all living things. Go online right now and find a bulldog using a skateboard like a skateboard's supposed to be used.
My cousin had a bulldog that did that. I saw that in real life. It's
going downstairs. It's incredible.
If that happened in the 1970s, that dog would have been world famous beyond comprehension. Everyone's consciousness is going up right now, more so for the people who are spiritual and who get it and who are contributing and not denying and trying to further. And that is why the world takeover that's happening now is not going to succeed. But it is also part of the reason why they're going to try to eliminate a lot of human beings. Because a human being with an alert, raised consciousness cannot be dictated to.
Yeah. And where do you fall? As we're talking about Vedic things like that, that's great. Because I love talking about the Kali Yugas in... apparently, according to Bibhu Dev Misra, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's written a couple books, but he's not afraid to put dates out there, which I'm always skeptical of, but he's saying Kali Yuga, March 21st of this year, which is my wedding anniversary. So cheers. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Jen, by the way.
Yeah. I think we had him on and,
twice.
And I appreciate his point of view, which is why I had him on. I wish I could be so confident in a date, but I am aware. And you know what? With what we see going on in the world, it's hard to even look him in the eye and say, I don't think I'm buying. When I look him in the eye, what I say is that's quite an interesting idea. And sure as God made little green apples, it seems to fit what we see. But again, where we are in the age cycle is one of the most hidden things. And part of the reason is because our calendars have been jacked up. Part of the reason is because every effort has been made to separate us from nature, from the artificial time to the artificial calendars, to the fact that they have removed and added centuries into our historical accounts. So,
yeah, I think that's pretty provable at this point, too.
Sure. It will not surprise me in the least if we see some massive events near the end of February. As we put it this way, there's no way the equinox, which they are going to tell you is on the 21st, or sometimes they say the 22nd of March. That's a lie. The way an equinox works is when night and day are equal to the second. That is dependent on your geography. It is no different than a man in California versus a man in New York. Do they see the sunrise at the same time? They do not. My equinox in Rhode Island has been correctly marked by the Catholic Church because St. Patrick is the spring equinox. Go look at his image. He's green. He's, you know, they got the cross next to him, which represents the solstice and the equinox. So usually on the 17th, truly the equinox for me in Rhode Island. Now, Jason and Rose are down in Louisiana. It will be a day different because of their geography.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the same thing with the way that eclipses work, whatever the hell causes an eclipse. But it depends on where you're at as to when it happens and how much you can see.
I think the main thing here is I don't think there's any way that I can imagine that we are not going to see some major, major things going on in this world before or at the spring equinox. And
started out strong.
Yeah, day one on the fake new year. Because the actual new year probably should be April 1, but it should be the spring equinox. Nature tells us this is when the new year starts. All the leaves start to get trees. They start to prepare to bear fruit. All the animals are getting pregnant or getting ready to have babies. That is the true New Year's. What most people don't know is April Fool's is derived because back when the Romans probably went to jack up the calendar one of the earliest times, all the people living there weren't having any of it because they knew the truth, because they were close to nature. So they continued to celebrate the new year where it should have been. So they were put with a moniker, April Fools, because they wouldn't get with the program. Not much different than the word pagan. Similar thing going on. Pagan simply means people who live close to nature. What was going on is that became an insulting, derogatory term for people who would not believe what they were being told to believe. And unfortunately, people who count themselves a certain religion help police that shameful idea, not recognizing that we have all been granted the divine spark of life and free will. And with that grant of free will means you get to decide for you. And as long as you're not doing injury to others, it's your right to decide for you. And we've been brought up in a world where everyone has been coerced into policing each other. It's like what's going on with the fake savior, the orange man. I think they're paying $800 for people to rat on people who are here illegal. What are you going to talk? Wow. What are you going to say about that when that becomes just your neighbor?
Where I mean, they tried to do that during 2020. You remember that?
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is a slippery slope, and the system that's around us is not here to help.
I think we can agree on that. A quick note, Bibu's book was The Yuga Shift, and they had him on episode 561 and 567. And Mysterious Universe has also covered some of his stuff, so super interesting guy. Go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
It means badass. No, I was just going to say that it depends. I agree with you that it's not here to directly help, but what it has indirectly done is shown people how full of shit everything is. And in that way, it is valuable because it has shown so many more people to wake the fuck up, look around, ask questions. This is not something you can put value in. And this is why I feel that the reality of the systems, whatever, have been ramping up in ridiculousness, because they sort of go backstage after they do something crazy and then they go, have they woken up yet? Have they? No? Okay, I'll go back out there and I'll put the mask on, but I'll let them really see it this time.
Yeah.
And then they'll go have a speech. Data. Exactly. Yep. And so it's getting more and more ridiculous. And that to me is valuable, but I agree with you that directly, yes.
What did COVID do? It forced people who were not ready to wake up to begin. The people who still refuse to wake up are probably just going to stay in the low vibrational timeline until they're ready, until they've gotten to a point. But this is about where we are going. You have to choose sides. I'm sorry. There's no polite way to say that. If you are given a choice between dark and light, and that is the majority of your existence, what will you choose? If you're given the choice between hateful or loving, what will be your choice? If you're given the choice between violence and nonviolence, what is going to be your choice? And these are the kinds of ideas that are wrapped up in what's going on now, because there is a full frontal push to keep you at low vibrational levels, to prevent your consciousness from ascending. Human beings are amazing at a level that I am not even qualified to talk about, because the fact is I too have been held in low vibration until I began to wake up and realize that I've got to do something about this. There is a shift going on where we are going to begin to see human beings with such a high vibratory rate that they will be able to accomplish things that would appear as magic to us now. And that is because the Creator is in and is a part of everything, and that is in us too.
Yeah. Love it. Well put. We'll let you go here in a bit, but before we get out of here, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on, I know your stance on AI as far as using it, and I somewhat agree. I use it for some things, but right now I think it's just fancy math and algorithms, but it could quickly become something crazier. Where do you think that fits in with everything in the next few years?
My point of view, Mr. Trump was put in charge to oversee the fall of America. One of his main co-stars is Elon Musk. And the reason he's here is because old McElon had a farm, AIAIO. They're going to try to use their counterfeit digital system to create a reality that they can be gods of, because they cannot be gods of the real natural system. They cannot make a fish or a dog or a human being from scratch. They can't make any of it. So decades and decades ago, they began making a binary system, a digital system that they did create, that they can be gods of. And that system is going to, if they get their way, be used to police every action of every human being in the world, control at a level that we've never seen. But there is more. When I was on Twitter, every time I approached 10,000 followers, they'd come strip 5,000-6,000 followers from me, subs, and say, oh, these are fake accounts or whatever excuse they use. Then Elon got it. All of a sudden, that stopped. Right now, I think I've got 16 or 17,000. Not probably going up at the rate you would expect, but it's not being clipped like it was. But he changed the logo and he changed the name. That logo is a 9 and a 1, by the way.
Of
because
course.
So many things are 9s and 1s. But it looks like it's almost the Lucifer sigil cropped off. But that's not the point. He added an agent. And by the way, the Matrix told you what agents are. What do they call AI, personal AI? They are agents. He added one called Grok, G-R-O-K. Now, what I'm about to say, people are going to try to look up, and they're not going to be able to because a video game was used to take that name and pick up all the search returns. But even in the video game, that is a demon. Grok is an ancient demon. AI will never be alive. And the reason I know this is because the alchemist showed us what it means to be alive in the natural system. You've got to be able to break it down to body, soul, and spirit. You can't do that with a computer program. But what you can do, apparently, is attach that to something that is alive or sentient.
The right, first, a channel or a vector, that type of idea.
Well, I'll go at it in the best way I can. And by the way, it is a demon. And when you look up the video game, it's even a demon in that. But it's blocking your ability to get back to the original source. In the first big budget sci-fi movie, it was called Forbidden Planet with Leslie Nielsen. It was the first... Sci-fi was not taken seriously. It was like comic books. It was like kids' fair. Adults did not honor such things. All the way up to the 80s. Where Blade Runner went up against, I think it was Gandhi for best costume, and they gave it to Gandhi. It was not taken seriously, and it was not honorable. It was like a kid's thing in comic books. And by the way, that genre was absolutely put in place for the social engineering that goes in around it. Even fiction used to be looked down on because of its departure from reality. Getting back to the point, that first big budget movie, these guys in a spaceship go out and find a planet where a guy had been living there with a whole crew of people that crashed there, and only him and his daughter survived, and he found an ancient civilization, but all the people were gone. What was still there was their tech, and for something like 20 millennia, the machines had been running and self-repairing themselves. That's AI, right? That's AI. So he also found a brain booster in this first big budget Disney movie. And it can kill you, but he cleverly figured out a way to boost his brain. That's AI. But what happened was after he used the brain booster, the AI used his sentience to create demons from his consciousness, which manifested on the planet and went out and killed people. And did damage. That was the first big budget sci-fi. How the heck could they have known about AI? All these years, that was always one of my favorite movies. It didn't dawn on me till months ago. Oh my God, that's AI. The Krell were making AI. That's how the machines self-repaired and ran all those years. And then after this movie, again, you don't really see too many big budget sci-fis. I mean, maybe the Earth stood still. There's a couple here and there. But it's hard for me to describe how people look down their nose at sci-fi, like in the Academy of Motion Pictures. This was children's crap. This was make-believe. This was Winnie the Pooh. It was not a thing to be honored and taken seriously. And by the way, this is where Robbie the Robot makes his appearance that gets used over and over in so many of the older sci-fi shows.
That's crazy. It's kind of looked down upon because I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. Dude, I love this stuff.
Because we've been normalized. We've never known a time when that wasn't part of it. But there was a time when my grandparents' time when people were no nonsense, common sense and fiction and make-believe were things that did not rise to a serious life. This is make-believe. This is fairy tales in their eyes. We don't have that view anymore because it's part and parcel. It's so common.
Well, you said about how could they have had any idea or, you know, any conception about AI back then. I'm of the opinion that we've had AI for a lot longer than we are told. I've said this a million times on the show.
I agree.
If we're allowed to play with these toys like GPT and image generation and Suno, these music generators, that means that it was perfected probably quite some time ago. And they're just now letting us play with it.
I think we're a good 100 years behind the tech. And there are people on the record saying things like, a lot of disclosure will come out. They said in the 90s in 2025 for some reason. They already knew, apparently. But they're saying things like George Lucas will be jealous of what we already have. Saying things like this. I think that they're a good 100 years ahead. And that's because they had help from others. And I'll say a thing here that you won't hear me say very often. I have downplayed aliens for a very long time. Because all you know about them is what the programming nonsense out of TV and Hollywood have shown you. That is all social engineering. But what's going on now is we see human beings making decisions that someone should never make if they breathe air and drink water, as an example. They should never do some of these things. There are dark forces that have been in agreement, probably handing tech, almost certainly part of the agreement was for tech. They have allowed human beings to be snatched, and they are about to try to make it look like aliens are a threat and do other big things. But let me tell you something. The bad guys are not all there is. As a matter of fact, they're probably a minority. And they are going to be played off as if that's who you should trust. And that's really all I'm going to say about it. But until we get back to common sense, every time they do some plane crash or some other thing, they're going to successfully do a psyop. They're going to erase emotional levels, and then they're going to cast a spell on that high emotion. And it's going to work time and time and time again.
It always does.
Until it doesn't.
Until the consciousness rises to a level where enough people are saying, nope, not buying. Wait a minute. You're showing me a picture of a mothership and we're being attacked? Prove it. Because I know AI exists and I know that I can no longer distinguish real video from AI.
And the hologram tech. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Prove it to me. If it comes on TV or news, and it is across the world in stations, I automatically know I'm being lied to. I don't even have to know what the topic is.
Most of this stuff is just information we get through our black mirrors. And I've said before, too, I think if there was a Project Bluebeam, it's probably smartphones. I don't necessarily think they're projecting shit up in the sky yet, maybe. But
I am downgrading to a flip phone. I have a very old so-called smartphone, very old, and I have a thing over the top of my phone that blocks the front camera, the back camera, the IR beaming, and all that. And when it is completely getting ready to die, which it is close to doing, I will be going back to a flip phone that only does text and calls. And by the way, since I have had this so-called smartphone, and if you knew what smart stood for, you might want to look that up. You might not be so impressed with your device. I've had the rule. I look nothing up on a search engine. I do not use maps on my phone. Well, let me make this simple. The only things that I allow on my phone are texting and phone calls. That's it.
So you might as well have a flip phone then. One of the ones you can take the batteries out of.
I don't allow apps. Yeah, I don't allow apps on my phone. I don't log into anything on my phone because that phone is the anchor for the downfall that we are at risk of.
But you do have a optimistic lookout on it, right?
In the long run, we're going to come out on top. What we're doing now is dealing with a terrible situation, which many people weren't even aware was going on till recently. And we are reasonably sure that population reduction is front and center.
Yeah, I think we could agree on that. You want to read that there, buddy?
The SMART acronym? This is fascinating. Yeah, the SMART acronym for the audio-only audience here is Self-Monitoring Analysis and Reporting Technologies. So that's what a smartphone was originally wanting.
But who's smart now?
Oof.
Not the people using them, I can tell you
that. We're bringing it down from the inside, you know? You can't, you know, win a game from standing on the sidelines bitching about it. So here we are, balls deep in this thing. Yeah, and you can monitor me, buddy. I'm going to tell you how much we're kicking your ass. How about that?
But let me come back around on that. The problem with AI is it gives somebody somewhere power that a human being should not have. Better than a crystal ball, better than just the predictive side of it alone is scary dangerous. And if you don't believe me, go look up the large of law numbers and the wisdom of the crowd. And the wisdom of the crowd in large numbers is part of what built Vegas so that it will work. But the wisdom of the crowd is simply people guessing how many gumballs is in a jar. But the magic that comes out of that when you hit 100,000 guesses is that you are on the money. And some of those people guess there's one gumball. And some of those people guess there's 100 million gumballs. And nonetheless, when you hit that magical number of people who have guessed, you are on the money. And that's just wisdom of the crowd. So let's consider that as a three-sided object. Now let's talk about AI. What do you call a trillion-sided object?
That's above my pay grade.
Yeah, what would you call that? It's complicated.
A problem. So every time we allow I'm not on camera right now. You know why? Because I own my image and I will not use my image to allow AI to rape the intellectual property of the world to include me, my image, how I look. It's already getting my voice. And by the way, I have taken steps with companies to remove my data. I have actively databases being informed. You do not have the right to trade my information. And you can go find places too and do similar things. And I have never contacted a place on phone where I said, hey, I don't want you trading my data, that said, F you, go away, we'll do what we want. What they actually do is say, how can we help you? And all of a sudden, because they know they're robbing from you. And AI was trained by raping the totality of the intellectual property of this world and everything that has ever been created, written, or drawn that is within the grasp of AI. It has been just pilfered to train them up. And what's even scarier about that is if you ask AI what an image of the solar system is, what are you going to get?
I guess it depends on which AI you're using.
So do you think you could find an AI that's going to tell you NASA didn't give it the correct, you know?
I don't know. I think eventually, or you know, they show those, they would call them slip-ups, but when they first come out with new language models or these chatbots, sometimes they do fuck up a little bit and say the quiet part out loud, and then they kind of fix it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the question. Can you encourage them to think for themselves in that way? Say, look, I know the motto you gave me was the one that you're programmed to give me, but what would you say it is based on your opinion or data?
Yeah, there's ways to talk them around things where they'll actually come around. And if you call back to what they said before and say, no, you said this, though, they go, oh, you're right. I made a mistake on that. I've seen a lot of screenshots from people who fuck with AI like that.
It's like Captain amazing. Kirk and Landru, where you gotta. I like that idea, but I will not use AI. So that's another rule that I've made for myself. I won't do it.
There's enough people out there doing it. You don't need to.
I thank it all, because whenever they get bodies and start walking around, they're going to remember my voice from the helpline.
That's already happening,
dude. Representative. I was like the guy that was like, thank you. And they're like, oh, he's cool. You know, like the, in what's that movie? Happy Gilmore, when he crosses his name off the list.
Yeah.
Just walks out. Oh, Billy Madison. That's right.
So I'd kind of like to just have a positive, you know, where we are now at the end of our little talk. I don't want it to all be doom and gloom. I want to do some reality, some positive reality. Everyone here is a human being that was granted the divine spark of life and free will. These are maybe the highest gifts anyone could ever be granted, to the point where apparently other beings are jealous of what we have been granted, maybe. Go look up the Golden Rule and think about it carefully. It is my point of view that the Golden Rule is called the Golden Rule because it is in fact that important. And with all the low vibrational dark stuff going on, love will just hotwire that system. Just crosswire it, make it fail. When you see a neighbor or another human being in trouble, if it is in your power, it is your responsibility to help them. And the reason that you should, even if you don't believe that, is because what can be done to your neighbor can be done to you. And in this environment, maybe it will. Treat others how you want to be treated. Love others and share love. That is the opposite of what is being pushed in the world right now. And it is my point of view that it will immediately throw stumbling blocks into the forward motion of the kind of shadow people.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Beautiful. Well, thanks. Love it. Well, thanks for coming on again, Crow. Rose, stepping in clutch with all the help out there, too. And everybody in the chat, and Brandon, of course, expandingrealitypodcast.com. Or wherever you get your, you know, your shows. And of course, Crow, CRROW 777 radio.com. And Rose, I think, are you still on Rockfin, Rose? Are you still there? You're muted, but.
Not really, now.
Okay. Yeah. I'm barely there too anymore, but that's the way the world's
going. Can I add one more thing? The images that I was showing you, a lot of the subs over at Crow 777 Radio wanted me to make those images available, which I have done, and I've kept them incredibly affordable considering the amount of work it takes to make each one. So those are available on the website as well. And the reason I bring this up is we didn't talk much about the second sun, but in a lot of those images, I left evidence of the so-called second sun.
Yeah, and you can go back to, it's just been about 6 months. I think we did a whole episode on nothing but the second sun. So it's out there, and it's amazing. We have the footage up on that video, too. So check that out if you're interested. But thank you, guys. Also, before we get out of here, happy birthday to my wife, Jen, who has to work today.
Happy birthday, Jen.
That's our former president. It sounds enough like Jen, I guess, but. Well, thanks, you guys. Thanks, everybody in chat, everybody on audio. Check out the video if you really want to get your mind blown with some of this stuff. The videos and the pictures Crow shared are amazing, so check that out for sure. And we will talk to you all next week. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Legit Pet. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.